Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from thehammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. It's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, and I'm David Todd from TheHammerSpeaks.com. Dave, this is episode 60 of season 2. Every Steeler game is an event, but I can't remember a less anticipated regular season game in the last 5 or 6 years than the one we have coming up tomorrow, Saturday, at Heinz Field, 1 o'clock. Where the Steelers take on the St. Louis Rams.
Yeah, I agree. And for those that are wondering if David sounds like he's in a box, David was out in San Francisco, as you may remember if you listened to the show. I was at the 49ers game, and then he went off to Las Vegas and came back.
Got lost for a couple days.
Yeah, came back without a computer too, didn't you?
Yeah, I don't know how at 6 in the morning from going from security to the airplane that I managed to lose my computer. But I did, but it's being mailed to me, and I'll be back in Pittsburgh tomorrow in time for the game. And I guess the breaking news, Dave, is we've got some roster moves, but really the most important stuff is the Steelers have just announced through SteelersDigest.com, I think is where I saw it first, that Charlie Batch is going to get the nod on Saturday. What's your thought on that?
I don't think it's really expected. Nick and I talked yesterday that I kind of thought Ben had a good shot at playing in this game until he didn't practice on, yesterday. When he didn't practice yesterday, it kind of made you think, okay, something's going on there. Maybe the swelling hadn't gone down. You got to remember, I think it was Bruce Arians or someone said that, those airline, flying on those planes with those type of injuries and all does not help with swelling and all like that. So with the short week and all, I would not be surprised that if Ben's still dressed. Okay, Charlie's going to start, but I think they've got enough numbers maybe here on the inactive list with this injury list that it would not surprise me if Ben dressed, but just kind of stayed back maybe in reserve, break glass in case of emergency type stuff. But it's Charlie's ball game, and probably Dennis Dix is going to back him up. So,
along those lines, Dave, I mean, we've seen Bat struggle a little bit in limited time and limited opportunity here this year, so I don't want to make too much of that. But do you see a scenario where could Batch play poorly enough where the Steelers would go with Dixon, or is this his game to play and Tomlin's going to run with it pretty much regardless of how he performs?
I don't really know the answer to that because, look at what happened last night between the Colts and the Texans. The Colts did the Steelers possibly a favor. And, the Ravens have lost Anquan Boldin now for the final 2 weeks with a meniscus tear that he had to get surgically repaired. So, if the Ravens slip up in one of these last two games, which we've talked, I think week 17 against the Bengals, that there's a distinct possibility that could happen. So, you almost have to wonder if they're going to be scoreboard watching, the games are going to be going on at the same time. And if Charlie's I think they've got to have this game one way or the other. So that's why I think you might see Ben kind of dressed and in uniform and maybe warming up with the guys throwing the ball around just in case. So I would not say that this is Charlie Batch's game from the opening kickoff to the closing gun.
I generally agree conceptually, but I don't see Ben going if he doesn't start. I think if they're going to make that kind of decision, they've got to go through a progression. Obviously Ben would be the emergency quarterback if he dresses, I would think. I don't think that, I guess he'd be the 46th man. But I think if Batch doesn't do it, you got to give Dixon the opportunity. I would almost, if I were kind of Mike Tomlin and my decision or whoever made this decision ultimately, whether it's the doctors or whatever, if the decision is Ben isn't starting because he can't go, I would hope that they'd actually make him inactive so that you're not tempted to go to him. You got a 53-man roster playing on Saturday against arguably the worst team in football at Heinz Field. This is a time where you say, look, let's not put anything more on it if we're not going to start him, which that's a separate conversation, I think. But if you're not going to start him, I think you got to go. But let's just touch on before we get to our injuries.
Okay, real quick though, why wouldn't you list Ben as out today then?
I would list him as out. Well, that's what I would do.
Yeah, he's as questionable today. So.
Yep. So I wonder, we'll find out tomorrow how they do that. But that game last night, so let's just talk about the ramifications. Now the big deal is still, again, whether the Ravens Houston is not really an issue for the Steelers anymore. It's just the Ravens, and it really looks like the Steelers could end up now as the two seed. They could, going into that game with San Francisco, we said, well, it's almost clear cut here. If the Steelers win this game, the odds are pretty good to the one seed. If they lose, they're going to be the five seed. But now with Houston losing, if the Steelers win out and the Ravens lose to the Bengals or Cleveland, obviously, this week, then the Steelers win the division and they will be ahead of Houston and, unfortunately, still behind New England, who we hold the tiebreaker with, but would be the two seed. So now it's looking 2-5.
Yeah, and it all depends on, you can't roll out the one seed because the Patriots play the Bills in week 17, and even though that's in New England's house, I think this is, the Bills played them good the first time around, so, and beat them, so.
Well, in that one, Brady threw, I think, 4 interceptions, and the Bills have dropped 7 in a row, so I got my, if I'm holding my fingers on the Patriots losing, it's Matt Moore this week and the Dolphins going in there and try and pull it off.
Yeah, and both are extreme remote possibilities, but so was the Colts game last night, it was a poorly officiated game, but it was a good game. I watched it from whistle to whistle, and I enjoyed that, and I thought as soon as that tip ball at the end there that bounced off the guy's shoulder pads into the arms of the Texans receiver there I think it was a third down play. I thought, oh, man, that's it, game over, because they kicked the field goal and the Colts hadn't scored a touchdown all night. But I'll be damned if Dan Orlovsky didn't drive them down and they got a benefit from a couple penalties and punched it in there at the end. That was an exciting game. And it's not going to help the Steelers, of course, if the Ravens don't lose. But let's face it, Anquan Boldin's a huge part of their offense. And, they've had some they've laid some eggs this year, so I wouldn't rule it out as a possibility of Baltimore running the table.
I totally agree, and I as we talked about, we'll get into our picks later this week. But I think it was silly for people to think that Baltimore was going to roll through the rest of the season. That game at San Diego, I think, shows that you get a team playing with good momentum at home, and Cincinnati, as you pointed out. If they get a win this week, they're certainly still in the mix for the wild card. So they'll have everything to play for. So we'll see how that goes. But why don't you bring us up to speed on the rest of the injury report and the roster moves that you actually just informed me of the Steelers just making here a few minutes ago.
Yeah, you've got Marquise Pouncey's not going to play. He's been ruled out. Running back Mawaldi Moore with that MCL and his knee sprain, he's out. Curtis Brown was ruled out before the roster move, and Emmanuel Sanders was ruled out as well. Roethlisberger, as we mentioned, questionable. Did not work today. Lamar Woodley, I believe, was limited again today with that hamstring and is listed as questionable as well. So, you almost have to wonder, if you're going to sit somebody like Ben down in this game, you're sitting Pouncey down who might have had a setback this week. We don't know on that ankle. Why would you even put Woodley out there on the field? So, I'm thinking that your inactives – tomorrow, depending on what happens with Roethlisberger, you've got three already that are going to be inactive now that Curtis Brown has been placed on IR. So you're looking at Emmanuel Sanders, Marquise Pouncey, and Mawaldi Moore as definite inactives. Chris Carter was also questionable today. He's only been limited. I would see it kind of questionable that they have him up for the game. So there's another inactive there. Jamon Meredith, there's no reason to dress all those offensive linemen that don't play special teams. He's likely to be down. So, if you put Woodley down, you've got an opening for someone else to be down. So either it might be Roethlisberger or I have to look at my sheet to figure out, it very well could be Roethlisberger in that seventh spot.
Yeah, in terms of the guys. Let me. We didn't go through this roster move that was just announced about 25 minutes ago. So why don't you just clear up what exactly went on?
Well, John Clay had been. There had been speculation whether or not they were going to go with two running backs this week and not promote John Clay from the practice squad. Well, John Clay let it leak out during the day through a guy, Wisconsin radio, I think, that he was going to be promoted. It became official this afternoon. They promoted him from the practice squad to the 53-man roster. Curtis Brown, with that knee injury that he suffered a couple weeks ago against the Bengals, I believe, has missed the last two games, and he went to IR. Now, Bob Labriola has said from Steelers Digest today that it was a move that Mike Tomlin didn't want to make, but it looks like they thought Brown would be out a couple of more weeks with this thing, whatever it is, and he was the less healthiest man at the time. So, you know, they need these bodies for special teams because you've got Mawaldi Moore out. You've got Emmanuel Sanders out.
Chris Carter
possibly out, and Curtis Brown out. You know, they needed some bodies, so you know, they couldn't dump Cromartie Smith back off to the practice squad or Morty Ivey. So it seems like a move that kind of went against what they really wanted to do, but now he's out and he's gone for the season. And Curtis Brown, what a good year special teams-wise. He did not see the field defensively. So, you know, he got some good work this year, I'm sure, in practice. So he'll be able to pick up and start all over again next season. So, you know, it's sad to see him go special teams-wise, but it's not like he was going to contribute this year on defense.
Yeah, a little disappointing, as Mike Tomlin had talked about both Cortez Allen and Curtis Brown and what the fire he brings on special teams, and, you know, kind of talked about him as being a little, you know, almost a special type player, that you can really see it, what a competitor he is, and he wants to get better all the time. So, yeah, I'm sure that's disappointing for him. It's disappointing looking to the postseason postseason. They clearly, in making this move, think Mawaldi Moore's MCL sprain is something that's not going to keep him sidelined for 4 weeks. I think if you were thinking a guy's going to be out 4 weeks, that takes you to the AFC divisional round. It would be potentially the second playoff game the Steelers would have to play if they don't get a first-round bye. So I'm guessing they think Mawaldi Moore, with two more weeks off, is a guy who could be back in time for the playoffs, because I would have thought if not, then you obviously move him to the IR.
Yeah, he talked, they interviewed him yesterday on Steelers Live as well, and he seemed pretty optimistic that 2 weeks, maybe three at the most, with this thing progressing. So, you know, if they, who knows, you know, we'll have to play it by ear over these next few weeks. At least the injury, you know, you got an early game this week on a Saturday. You've got a full week, 2 weeks before the playoffs, I guess. So they must think that he might be able to get back by come playoff time.
So, Dave, let's. I know you had a conversation yesterday talking about the Rams. The news is that Kellen Clemens is going to get the start for them. Steven Jackson's their marquee guy. Their backup receiver, Pettis, has gotten busted for using performance-enhancing drugs. He's got a four-game suspension. This is a team now that may have more interest in losing than winning now that the Colts won last night. Even though if the Colts lose next week, they still clinch the number one pick and the Andrew Luck sweepstakes. But, you know, what are your thoughts about the Rams and what they're bringing to the table here? And is this a game where I don't expect the Steelers to ever be in a trap situation. I think they're too well-coached, and I think they're too professional for that. But is this a game that could just kind of roll along and the Steelers win this game 21-20, or can you see them really putting the hammer to them early?
Well, first, I despise the word trap game.
I'm with you on that.
You know,
well. I think it's a silly
term. I hate to see people use that that term, because in the NFL, I think every game, if you wanted to, I think every game, quote unquote, would be a trap game. But you know, that aside, the Rams secondary is extremely beat up. They've been shuffling bodies, safeties playing corner and all like that. That's where they hurt the most. Now, the defensive line wise, not too terribly bad, despite the rankings of the defense. Their linebacker crew with James Laurinaitis in the middle, a real strong prospect, is going going to be around this league for a while. Of course, you've got Howie Long's boy, Jake Long, at left defensive end. He's been kind of playing on a bad hamstring that's not allowed him to practice during the week, but boy, his motor sure does run on game day, though. So he's Marcus Gilbert's going to have his hands full over there. It comes down to, Steven Jackson, the offense is going to run through him. And one thing we saw with Clemens last week against the Bengals is they used Steven Jackson quite a bit out of the backfield, 9 catches out of the backfield last week. And Steven Jackson only had not even 30 heading into that game receptions on the year. So, it's something that to look for. He's going to be a safety valve. The whole offense is going to run through Steven Jackson, I believe. Their wide receiver crew is a mess, especially now they've lost Pettis. You've got, who is it, Lloyd over there. And you got Brandon Lloyd, Brandon Gibson, and Denario Alexander over there, So outside of Brandon Lloyd, who I think will get the attention of Ike Taylor most of the day over there, it's just not a threat, especially not a threat to stretch the field behind that offensive line that's been, boy, that offensive line. I was talking to R.B. Falstrom, the AP sports writer, yesterday, and they've just gone through a whole bunch of changes on that offensive line this year, so... the only way the Steelers lose this game, David, is if they turn the ball over 4 times like they did against San Francisco and they fail to stop the run with Steven Jackson, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think you're right on there. I just see the Steelers coming out, hopefully not being too conservative with Charlie Batch. We talked about how on Tuesday when we spoke after the Niners game, Mendenhall ran the ball well in the second half, averaging about 6 yards a carry. Unfortunately, playing from behind like they were, they really didn't have a chance to kind of get that going in the fourth quarter. But I would imagine that you agree that we expect the Steelers to come out and try to establish the run. But you got to run your offense. You've got 2 dynamic wide receivers. Charlie Batson's got to go out and get the job done.
Yeah, he does. And, I'm writing up my 7 keys to the game, or 7 things to watch right now. And, Rashard Mendenhall, Mike Tomlin talked about him after the game, or on Tuesday, I should say, about him being kind of banged up in them with those ribs and all. I think that's another reason why you saw John Clay activated to the 53-man roster. I would not be surprised if we saw a lot of Isaac Redman in this game, just straight up the gut, too, because there's word that Trey Essex and Chris Kimoato both could see time at left guard this week, with Doug Legursky having to play center with Pouncey back down again. I expect them to run and run heavy and try to protect Charlie, because let's face it, Essex and Starks did not have a great game last week with some of those tackle in type stunts that the 2 Smiths put on them. And I think the last thing that you want to do in this game is to, throw the ball 25 times with Charlie Batch taking hits back there behind this offensive line. So I expect a lot of running. I expect them just to try to manhandle them. I really am not expecting a blowout, to be honest with you. I think the Steelers will win this game, but, the Rams hung around the Bengals kind of tough last week as well. So, this will just be, let's out-muscle them, let's get to W, and let's move on to Cleveland, in my opinion.
I'm with you. I kind of perceive it the same way. Don't expect to see the Steelers blow them out here. Now, we've seen that you and I have called for a couple blowouts in our predictions, and that's probably, if we don't call it this week, that's probably exactly what's going to happen. But, again, it makes a big difference for this team to get ahead early in this game and put it on Kelvin Clements. As you pointed out, the receiver core is weak on the other side. And this is a game really – the defense really needs to step up and shine and kind of take control of this game and hold the other team to, 10 points or less, so that this game, so the outcome of this game is never in doubt.
Yeah, without a doubt. Now, you know, we get James Harrison back this week off that 1-game suspension. And, he's going to probably be going against, who knows at left tackle right now for them. I'm trying to remember who they started last week.
Is LeVore or Goldberg? I don't know.
Let's see. Goldberg, I think, started for them at left tackle last week against the Bengals. So, this is a guy that has, kind of looking at kind of what he's done this. He's been up and down, had a bad game against the 49ers, had a bad game against the Cardinals a couple of weeks ago as well. So this is a real up and down guy. At left guard, they've got Jason Brown, who's just been a mess over there. So, Brett Kiesel and James Harrison on that right side of the Steelers defense should have a good day over there. Then flip over to the other side, where Jason Worlds will more than likely, I think, start. I just cannot see them playing Lamar Woodley that many snaps in this game. But even if it is Woodley, he's going to probably be going up against Harvey Dahl in this situation, and this is a guy that's just had a few games, I think, barely above average. Really has not looked good two of the last three games against the 49ers and against the Bengals. So, yeah, defensively, they ought to manhandle them. The key, as I mentioned earlier, stop Steven Jackson. I would have either Ryan Clark or Troy Polamalu up in that box quite a bit in this game and kind of dare them to take shots down, deep down the field.
I'm with you on that. Dave, I think the most interesting thing I saw out of the news this week was some commentary by Ed Bouchette saying that he felt like somebody had it out for Hines Ward. And I actually found this pretty shocking. Ed Bouchette's been on the beat for the Steelers for about 30 years. He feels like most Steelers fans do, and usually you don't see this in writers, that Hines Ward deserves a shot to get 1,000 catches, that he is still a productive player, and the fact that he hasn't gotten a lot of snaps the last two games and only been targeted one time in the last two games means that somebody involved in the process has it out for Hines Ward. Now, a writer, that was on 2 days ago, I think that article came out, and then today, in some of his give and take at the mailbag that he does with readers, somebody said, do you think it's Ben? The gist of it was, do you think it's Ben? And his response was, I think it's bigger than the quarterback. I found this really surprising. One, because, first of all, I do think Hines Ward can be a productive receiver, but there's no doubt in my mind that with the five guys the Steelers have on this roster, he is fifth in terms of what they want to do offensively in terms of talent and being on the field. Is he a great blocker? Yes, he's a great blocker. But this team is passing the ball 55-60% of the time now. And as you have pointed out, if Ward isn't on the field all the time, if he's only on a running plays, then you somewhat tip your hand as to what you're going to do. And we've seen that as he's come in the three tight end formations. But basically, this is a guy, a beat writer, saying that either, in my mind, it's very simple, either the offensive coordinator, Bruce Arians, or the head coach, Mike Tomlin, has some kind of personal beef with Hines Ward. And, I can't say that it's not true because I'm not there day-to-day, and I don't know exactly what Ed had in mind. But I find it really shocking that he would write that and wondered what your take was.
I saw the same thing, and I was a little bit taken back as well, too. Now, who knows? Does Hines maybe have kind of a prima donna attitude after all the Dancing with the Stars stuff and all like that? I don't see it. I mean, he says all the right things to the media. It doesn't look like, all the young receivers speak glowingly about him and how he's helped them out. It's unlike Ed Bouchette to kind of stir up crap, if you will, either.
Yep.
You know,
yep, exactly.
If you ask me, I don't know. I'm not in the locker room. I'm not around those guys. I don't get the access, like they do. There could be, I suppose, but let's turn this on the other, foot though. What if they've been trying to feed Hines Ward these balls over these last 3 weeks or so, and still lost? What would people be saying?
Yeah, I mean, the answer is I'm with you on that. I think, you run the offense that you think is going to win you games. We talked about the fourth quarter of the game when they were blowing out Cincinnati, and they said they would have thrown the ball more, except the Bengals were double covering them in a game that the Steelers had easily in hand. But I agree, Ed Bouchette's not a guy to stir things up, but I just wonder if there was a little personal animosity towards somebody in the organization for Ed Bouchette, in his view of this, feeling like the Steelers were really doing Hines a disservice. I don't think the Steelers are doing Hines a disservice. I don't think you owe players, milestones and things like that when your goal is to win games and make the playoffs and make the best decision possible for the 60 guys in the organization or 53 guys on the roster or whatever number you want to use. So I don't think the Steelers owe it to him. They're paying him a big chunk of money to do his job, and their job is to go out and win games. Now, look, if it's 35-7, sure, get on the balls. Because, if he finishes with 998, and we're going to look at this next year, and he comes out today and says, look, retirement is not part of his vocabulary. He's planning on playing. If the team cuts it, so be it, and he'll, cross that bridge when he comes to it. But this is setting itself up to be a little bit of a interesting, if not volatile, situation come the offseason now with these kind of things being said.
Yeah, and, sometimes, too, let's face it, there outside of the Ben injury, there's not a lot of drama or a lot to write about right now with the Steelers, which is a good thing.
Right.
Sometimes in this age of media now, sometimes you have to kind of create a story to get someone to respond to the story to create a story, if that makes sense.
Yep.
Us bloggers do it. I've kind of thrown some stuff out there before to try to get some reaction somewhere. Of course, I don't have the readership that the papers and all do, but my name gets around quite a bit. But it wouldn't surprise me. It just is not something that Ed Bouchette does. So maybe there is, but here's where I look at it. He was only on the field 9 times last week. In a game against the 49ers that they kind of had to have or had a good shot if they had it of running the table and having that number one seed. And,
yeah.
And we saw the personnel on the field. So it kind of makes you wonder going forward here now. Now, hopefully they can get out to a lead against the Rams and feed him a couple quick bubble screens maybe early in this game to get a handful of these catches. But, let's face it, I don't think he's going to – if he gets to the 1,000 catches, I don't think it's going to be at home. And I wrote the other day, if he does get it this year, it's going to be on the road at Cleveland, and how ironic, right down the road from Canton, Ohio.
Yep, that's a good point. Dave, let me ask you, in terms of play calling, one of the things we've seen the Steelers use as the season went on is this bubble screen, and they've used it to really 3 different guys. They use it to Wallace. He's done a great job of breaking some tackles, getting yardage. Antonio Brown, they've used him on occasion, and when they need just a couple yards or 4 or 5 yards, they've gone to Hines Ward on that. They didn't use that play call one time against San Francisco, if I remember correctly. Did anybody comment this week on the lack of choice on that play selection in particular?
Yeah, and I wrote about it in my wrap-up, my final observations of the game the other night. Nick and I talked, I think, yesterday, maybe briefly about it. But, yeah, that was a surprise, David, especially. Now, here's the only thing that Nick and I talked about yesterday. Maybe because of his foot, okay, maybe they didn't want him – because you've got to make a quick step over to that side. You've really got to step towards the throw, and you've really got to get the ball out quick on those bubble screens. Maybe that was something that they were worried about with his footwork, about twisting that ankle, that they didn't want to do.
Certainly a possibility, and I don't know the answer, but I hadn't seen anybody comment on it, so I just wondered if there was
and nobody asked Bruce Arians yesterday either, man. I was hoping Scott Brown or Mark Cabali or one of those guys would have asked that, just for the sheer fact that it kind of caught me off guard. And because as much as people hate that, man, I'm such a fan of it. It has been good this year. It's like a run and play. And who knows, sometimes you get 14, 15 yards on top of it. So it's a pretty safe option in my opinion, especially on early downs. And heck, what's the worst case scenario? 2 yards? Well, you could get that with a run. But why not? And we've talked about in previous shows, David, that get the ball in your playmaker's hands and let them do something with it. So that'll be something to look for maybe this week with Charlie. Charlie doesn't have as strong as arm, but I think he still has the footwork to get some of those bubble screens, out there to the edges. So that'll be something, most definitely that had me curious after the 49ers game as well.
Yeah, it would be important to be blocking the ends and the linebackers well in that situation because, you know, Charlie's not quite as big as Ben, and that makes a little bit of a difference, too, and see if you keep those guys from batting those passes down if they're looking for that. Okay, Dave, should we get into our picks for Week 16?
Yeah, let's get into those.
All right, so obviously this week is a special week with Christmas coming up on Sunday, and Dave and I clearly want to wish all our listeners a Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah and Happy Kwanzaa and all those other things, depending on where you're coming from.
Festivus.
But, so it changes the schedule around on Saturday, and we've got a whole host of games, 13 games tomorrow. We had the game last night. We got 13 tomorrow. We got a game Sunday night, Christmas Eve, and then we got a Monday night game. So we start out, you know, and the interesting thing is a lot of these games are pretty interesting and still have some ramifications as to how things are going to play out. So we start off with a West Coast team going to the Midwest, the Raiders going to the Chiefs. The Chiefs with a very nice win for Romeo Crennel in his debut last week with the team over Green Bay. The Raiders really lost the game. They should have won. They gave up two touchdowns in the last 5 minutes against the Lions. And the Chiefs are coming in as a 2.5-point favorite against the Raiders.
You know what? They after he knocked off the Packers last week, a lot of those players, of course, which you kind of suspect because everybody's scared for their job right now when you've got a coach coming in. But Romeo Crennel, I think he's got a lot of those players' support over there. They are at home. That's a pretty tough place to play if it gets loud over there. They've got Kyle Orton at quarterback. You know what, David? Give me the Chiefs and let me lay the three here.
So in this scenario,
or two, I can get 2.5. Let me lay 2.5.
Yeah, 2.5. Yep. Denver's got a 1-game lead on Oakland and San Diego, a 2-game lead on the Chiefs. Whoever loses this game is obviously out, and the Chiefs are probably out anyway. But yeah, it's a big game for Romeo Crennel and his guys, and I think you're right the way they reacted to the win. But I like Oakland. I've been kind of riding them all year. They've been up and down. They got blown out a couple times when they came east. But, you know, their season's on the line here. What I don't know is whether Darren McFadden's playing, and I think that makes a difference kind of whether I'll play the game myself at the end of the day. But I'll take the other side for starters and go with Kansas City plus 2.5. Then we got a very interesting line where Denver's got to go east and play Buffalo, laying 3 in Buffalo, a Buffalo team that's kind of in you know, disarray as they've lost 7 in a row. Denver, I don't think they were as bad as they looked at against New England. We know New England can put points up on anybody. I think this line's actually pretty good, though, and the Bills have been pretty bad. So, you know, I may lean to Denver. If I can get it at 2.5, I'll definitely lay it.
Yeah, Denver on the road here. Buffalo, this is the Bills' final home game of the season. Yeah, you know, you hate to bet against Tebow here. They damn sure were able to run the ball good. Of course, it was against the Patriots last week. I'm staying away from this personally, but a gun to my head, I'd take the Bills plus the points here.
All right. So we're split on the first two. Generally, we got the Jags at the Titans. The Jags getting 7 on the road. QB issues, a solid defense. You never know what you're going to see with the Jags. The Titans, I don't know who's going. I assume Hasselbeck's going to get the nod this week. The Titans, they are still in this playoff race at 7-7. This is a must-win for them at home. So I'm going to say they get it done, but I'm not going to bet it because 7 doesn't feel like that feels like too much to me.
I'm going to look at the weather on this in the morning and see what it's supposed to be like up there and on, you know, Titans home game, you know, Jacksonville going up to that colder climate up there, if indeed that is the case. Jacksonville's just playing uninspired ball. I mean, it's Maurice Jones-Drew and pretty much nothing after that. On the surface right now, I'm not going to lock myself into this game, but I like the Titans at home laying whatever I, you know, the minimum I can have to lay on this.
Bengals minus 4 hosting Arizona. Let's just put it this way. I'm going to be rooting for the Bengals, so, you know, I can't bet on Arizona.
Yeah, this is a game that the Bengals have to have if they're going to hang around. Even if they lose this game, though, I don't think they're mathematically eliminated, okay? So I don't remember this being in any of the playoff scenarios for this week with the Jets and the Bengals and all like that. But regardless, it's a game the Bengals have to have. They're at home. I can lay 4 on this, and I'm going to lay it.
The Cardinals, they've got to win. They're 2 games back in the wild card race, but they're still in it. And both teams that are two games ahead of them have tough games this week. So they've got something to play for. And, you know, Skelton's going to be quarterback again. The guy's played surprisingly well. So I'm interested to see how that game plays out. New England laying 9.5 against New Orleans at home. Again, you've got a warm weather team going up to New England. You feel like the Patriots can put up 40, but I feel like with Matt Moore, the Dolphins can put up some points as well. At 9.5 or 10, Dave, does that swing you one way or the other?
You know, they're playing. Miami has to go up there in this cold. It never seems to work out good for them. If you remember, I think these two teams played early in the season. Week one, if I'm not mistaken, I might be wrong. It was early. And they just, you know, Tom Brady went into that no huddle offense right off the bat and gassed them. You know, I don't think this is a game that Miami can run with them on. So, give me the Patriots and lay the 9.
Cleveland goes to Baltimore. You know, it could be you, me, or Joe Schmo playing quarterback for the Browns. Colt McCoy looks like he's going to be out again. The Ravens are laying 12 at home. At 14, I probably would take the Browns. At 12, you know, I probably won't do anything, but I'd be inclined to take the Ravens.
You know what? Seneca Wallace, they are playing at Baltimore. I think Seneca Wallace actually gives them a little bit better.
Oh, you know, you're right. I forgot it was Seneca Wallace. All right, I'll take it back. I actually like Cleveland with Seneca Wallace in 12.
You know, and, you know, you had made sure to fire something back at me this past week about Greg Little having a breakout game last week.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, I'll hop on your funny little train this week. I'll play your silly little games. But anyway, you know what? No Anquan Boldin. I know they lost the safety of theirs, T.J. Ward.
They lost
him for the year. That being said, I think Cleveland can keep this game close enough. So come up to kickoff time, I'm going to get as many points as I can in this game.
Giants are at the Jets in their both home stadium. The Jets are the designated home team. This is a huge game. I'm in New York right now. This is a huge game in New York. Both teams underperformed expectations. The Giants start out 6-2. The Jets in conference championship game the past 2 years. Jets are a 3-point favorite at home. I've kind of liked the Giants lately and not liked the Jets as much recently. I'm going to take the 3 with the Giants here.
If Eli Manning wants to, you know, they keep trying to throw his name in this top 5 and top 6 quarterbacks and all in the league and all. If Eli Manning is that guy, then this is a game he has to win. Okay, he's had some pitiful performances interception-wise. Now, I know a couple of them been bouncing off some guys and all like that. That being said, man, I'm finding it hard to believe. And something about it tells me the Jets are going to back their damn ass into this damn playoff somehow now. So, for some reason, give me the Jets and lay the 3 points.
All right, the Skins are home against the Vikings, laying 6.5. Washington's played a lot better football the last three or four weeks. Rex Grossman had a tough start against the Giants last week, and then he got hot and torched that defense. The Vikings with Christian Ponder, again, in the sweepstakes for Andrew Luck. I'm going to take the Skins and lay the 6.5.
I am, too. I think I read this morning a couple, offensive linemen, I think, might be out with concussions ruled out and all on top of it, so... Minnesota's just too banged up and rookie quarterback and all. I think the Redskins can take care of them. So I would, you know, I think they covered the touch 6.5 there.
Cam Newton's hosting the Tampa Bay Bucs. Raheem Morris is just about completely toast here. He's going to get the axe at the end of the season. Cam Newton's going to break the rookie passing record that Peyton Manning set. He's already set the rookie rushing quarterback touchdown record, which is a slightly obscure record, but at 13, that's a real number. They're laying 7.5. That half point's a little bit iffy for me, so I'll probably stay away from it unless we get down to 7. But I like Carolina to win this game.
I like Carolina to win, and I like them to blow them out, too. That Cam Newton, boy, we've talked about it. That kid really has surprised me this year. Tampa Bay, that's a dead team walking right now. They just not explosive at all. Cam Newton can do it on the on the ground and through the air, and you know the Panthers' defense isn't great, but I think it'll be enough to take care of this spread in this game. And all Raheem Morris, quick note about him: all the speculation is after he gets fired is he'll be Mike Tomlin to find a position for him somewhere on the Steelers staff.
Interesting, hadn't heard that. We go to the 4 o'clock games. probably a big one for the playoff implications, and maybe an interesting one to really figure out who these two teams are. The Lions are hosting the Chargers. The Chargers are finally playing the type of football that everybody thought they'd play all year long. They seem to win every game they play in December. They go to Detroit. Detroit's a two-point favorite. They haven't clinched their playoff spot, as far as I know, but they're in the driver's seat to get one of the wild card spots. I'm going to take the Chargers. I just think they're a better team, and they're hot offensively. They go play on turf. They get a 4 o'clock start coming east, so I'll take the Chargers in this one.
Not me. East Coast, West Coast here.
That hasn't held much this year.
I know. I think it is here. I think Vincent Jackson's banged up for them. I think someone else on the Chargers, I can't remember off the top of my head, is banged up as well. And you hit it on the head with Detroit, too. I think if Detroit wins, I think they're in if they win.
No, they're in if they win, for sure.
Yeah, so, you know, if I can lay two here, I think this is going to be a close game, but I think the Lions are able to go a lot more, you know, able to go vertical more than Baltimore most certainly can. Give me Detroit, lay the points at home here. Detroit gets in.
All right, well, we can save the vig on that one. I'll take the other side. And then we go, we got a game where San Francisco goes up to Seattle. San Francisco's laying 2 on the road. Seattle's won 5 of 6. They're 7-7. And one of McLaughlin, I think it is, the Scott McLaughlin or something right along those lines. I might not have his name exactly right. It was a guy who was with San Francisco, one of the architects of that team, is now an executive with the Seahawks. And he said, they're going to come up here on Christmas Eve and we're going to kick their ass. And I love hearing that stuff. He's obviously got big ties to the San Francisco 49ers. He's now with the Seahawks. He said he's not going to attend the game because he doesn't want to be a distraction. I think he's thinking he's a little bigger than he is, if that's what he actually said. But this is interesting. I think the Seahawks are playing great. Is Tavares Jackson capable of playing better than Ben Roethlisberger at home? He's certainly going to be more mobile than Ben. And will the beast, Marshawn Lynch, be able to run the ball on this defense, Dave? I'm going to take the Seahawks +2 at home and say that they're still in the hunt.
Seahawks lay. Who's favored? San Francisco is favored in this one on the road. You know what? I like the Seahawks too. You know, Harbaugh came out and tried to praise their defense this week by taking a shot at the Steelers. He said the Seahawks defense is better than the Steelers defense. Now, they have been really over the last few weeks, I guess, but longevity-wise, they haven't. But this is a totally different Seahawks team than the Steelers faced way back, you know, early part of the season.
Yep.
Tavares Jackson, as long as he does not turn the ball over, and Marshawn's running the ball good at home. You know what? Give me the Seahawks here, man.
Yeah, I'm with you. Then a huge game, the Eagles at Dallas. Dallas laying 1.5 at home. Both these teams fighting for their playoff lives. I have no idea what to think of this game. Michael Vick's been good the past couple games, but I haven't seen them. I haven't seen the Eagles play in a couple weeks. I've seen Dallas fold a couple of games late, but they did handle Tampa easily last Saturday night. Dave, I'll just throw it to you. The Cowboys are laying 1.5. What do you think?
I'm going to bet the Cowboys here at home. I just cannot see them losing this game. If they do lose this game and somehow do not make the playoffs, there's going to be a lot of heads rolling over there. So that wouldn't hurt my feelings either. If I had to, if this cost me a C note to buy that, I'll do it. So
okay.
Let me have the Cowboys lay the point.
Sunday night, Green Bay hosts Chicago. Green Bay's laying 12. Chicago's toast. They've gone to Josh McCown, the quarterback. Unfortunate injury for the Bears. They were really playing some good football. Excuse me. Then Cutler went down, and they come into this game limping, 7-7. They're going to get smoked. I don't see them scoring too many points. I think Green Bay probably coming off a loss is going to be steamed, so I'll lay up to 14.
Yeah, I'm seeing right now where we can lay as low as 12. So if I'm able to lay that, definitely give me Green Bay. I don't see how Chicago can score.
Monday night, the Saints and the Falcons, a big game because Atlanta's still trying to get the wild card. They finally righted the ship and won a couple games here and have looked better doing it. The Saints are as explosive as any team maybe ever offensively. Drew Brees is going to break Marino's all-time yardage record. He, Rodgers, and Brady are putting up, you know, video game numbers. They're laying 6.5 at home. They have been just lights out on national TV at home. Is six and a half enough, and they win by more than a touchdown?
That place is so damn loud, man. That Superdome does not get enough credit for how loud those fans get in there. I like Atlanta and all like that, but on the road they're a totally different team. I think New Orleans got their numbers. So give me the Saints lay the points here.
All right, then the big game at Heinz Field, 1 o'clock Saturday, Steelers, sans Ben Roethlisberger, Charlie Batch under center, the Rams, sans Sam Bradford, have Kellen Clements under center. This is a game we've probably tipped our hand here. The line has moved from 16 to 13.5 now that it's announced that Batch is going to get the start. I think that's a good number. 13.5, the Steelers can feel like they didn't blow them out and cover this line at 24-10. And that's what I'm going to predict, Dave. I'm going to predict a 24-10 win for the Steelers. So under 14, I maybe think they sneak the cover.
I'm going Steelers 20, Rams 9 here.
And that would be not a cover.
That would be not a cover. And everybody's going to be upset per usual with the win.
Yep. All right, Dave, anything else before we close up here and head our ways for the Saturday's game and a Christmas Sunday?
Yeah, I got a nice Twitter comment from a reader. Let's see. Dave and Dave, just let you guys know, I love listening to your podcast here in the UK. Keep up the great work. And that's from Chris Hanman. Chris Hanman on Twitter. So, Chris, we appreciate the comment. Everybody out there, you know, that listens to the show and have supported us, we wish you and yours a Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I hope you get your money's worth here, what you pay for it. And if not, well, remember what you pay for it.
a safe and happy holiday. A little programming note for me. I will be in Pittsburgh this week. I'll be on the air for Joe Bendel on 970 ESPN on Tuesday, the 27th, from 4 to 7. If you're around in Pittsburgh, give me a shout. We'll talk some football. We'll probably have Dave as a guest on that show because it'll be the first show since the Steelers game Saturday against the Rams. So you can get a little bit of both of us. And I may also be doing the show Wednesday the 28th. So 970 ESPN, 4 to 7 in Pittsburgh.
Sounds good. And please follow us on. Let's get David over 1,000 by Christmas.
My God. We were working on that in week two. We're still working on it.
I thought I was the one that pissed people off. I don't know.
I'm going to need Jesus to get me over. Maybe the Lord's birth will get me there on Sunday. I think I'm about 10 or 15 away.
Yeah, so. Old little 7-pound little baby Jesus.
Get me another Twitter follow.
Yeah. At Hammer Speaks for David Todd, at Steelers Depot for me, at Terrible Podcast for the show. You can email us at theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. Make sure to tune in to David on 970 as well, too. He does a great job on there filling in for those guys. So I'd like to see him get a full-time gig as well. And David, Merry Christmas to you, brother.
All right, same to you, my man. And thank you all for listening to Terrible Podcast, Season 2, Episode 60 with Dave and Dave.